Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. I'm going to start us off with a gold nugget. I found it in Psalms chapter 77 and verse 6. This was written by the great musician and songwriter Asaph. In verse 6 he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit make diligent search. When a spacecraft returns from its orbit flight due to the intense heat generated by the spacecraft's re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere, there is a period of about 4 minutes when all communications are broken. The Bible teaches that man is in a period of spiritual blackout. Spiritually, he is blind. We grope like the blind, as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of them which believe not. Spiritually, man is also deaf. They have ears to hear and hear not. Jesus went so far as to say, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead. Spiritually, man is dead. The Bible says that we, who were dead in trespasses and sins, all this means that the communication between God and man is broken. There is a wonderful world of joy and light and peace, which millions of people are blind and deaf, and even dead. They search for serenity. They long for happiness, but never find it. All the while, God is there speaking and calling. God is sending forth His message of love, but we must be on the right wavelength. We must be willing to receive His message and obey it. And when we do, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. I'm speaking again today from Luke chapter 5, the first 9 verses. Most of you are familiar with the story. Jesus is using Peter's boat to teach the multitude on the seashore. And when he got through speaking to the crowd, he turned to Peter with a personal, private word. And he told Peter, launch out into the deep, let down your net for a draw. Peter explained to him that he'd fished all night and came up empty-handed. Peter was thinking, what would be the use in doing it again? Yet Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Had his brother Andrew or James or John told him to do so, he would have refused. He would have argued with them and said, men, you know I have worked all night long and we've caught nothing. We're throwing in the towel. We're giving up. We're going home. I'm tired. I need to rest. But this was not the case when Jesus told him. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Peter says, even though I have failed, nevertheless, at your words, I will let down my net. I'd like for you to notice that Jesus directed Peter to go right back out into the ocean where he had failed. He didn't tell him to take a new net. He didn't tell him to use another boat. What you have is all you need. He only said, launch out into the deep. Use the same net. drop it into that same hole of failure. So he did. And so it happened. Right out there in Peter's ocean of failure. In the same waters, at the word of the Master, he succeeded beyond all of his expectations. He and his friends were astonished at the results. It can happen to you. Has God ever told you to go back to the place where you have failed? Has God told you to do something which you have tried and tried, and you have come up empty-handed, but yet God is telling you to go back, let down your net, and you were surprised at the results? I recall the story of F.J. Rowland, a missionary to Africa. He went with a burning in his heart to save everybody in Africa. He had visions of great campaigns and thousands coming to the Lord. But it didn't turn out that way. Not the first year anyway. Or even the second year. Or the third. Or the fourth. Or even the fifth. Year after year, he'd come home on furlough, raising money to support him as he went back. But when he came home, he didn't have those glowing reports that he thought he would have or that others thought he should have. He came home empty-handed. But year after year, he went back to the same place of failure. He knew God was calling him there. He knew at the word of the Lord he had gone there, so he continued to return. And after 6 years, with no one saved, no one baptized in the Holy Spirit, he heard a private word from the Lord telling him to rent the biggest auditorium in the town for revival. In the meantime, he had attached himself to a group of believers numbering about 20. He rented the auditorium and he and his 20 friends got to the auditorium early, and he called them around the altar to pray. He said, "Let's pray until church time." They did. And when they got up from their praying and turned around, the auditorium was filled to capacity. More than 300 come to the Lord that night. 175 was filled with the Holy Ghost. Tell me, friend, God can bring beauty out of ashes. God can deliver out of prison. God can make the barren fruitful. He can turn your gloom into glory. There may be some things in God's word or some duty that God would call us to that would seem to the carnal judgment to not be very wise. Sometimes the commandments of Christ runs completely contrary to what we think that we ought to do. Let me list just a few of the things. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Self-denial is something that just doesn't seem logical to us. But our Lord takes the cheap cliches around which the carnal mind finds his pleasures. Our Lord scorns them because they bring false hope, fears, and anxieties. There are some who would say that Jesus was a creature of his own time and not of ours, and that therefore his words does not apply to us. Jesus was not a creature of his time, nor any time. Our Lord did not belong to his day any more than he belongs to our day. He suited no age. And because he suited no age, he was the model for all ages. He never used a phrase that depended on the social order in which he lived. His gospel was no easier then than it is now. When Jesus said, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." These things rub us wrong. These things seem to go against the grain. It is hard for us to understand these. In fact, he goes on to say, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, and brothers, and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples." Most of us would say, "That's a little over the top. How can I do that? I will not do that. I love my family. I love my parents. How can I walk away from them?" And many, like the rich young ruler, walk away sad. But it is our duty to do whatever our Lord bids us and take the consequences, whatever they may be. So let us each say, "I know that it will cost me much, but nevertheless, I will do whatever you command me." I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but before I step away from the microphone, I'd like to remind you of the words of the Master. He said, "If you love me, you would keep my commandments, you would keep my sayings, you would do what I ask you." And then he asked the question, "Why do you call me Lord and do not what I ask you to do?" That's something to think about.